January 21st is not our actual anniversary day and date. Full disclosure, our anniversary of the founding of our congregation, in my head, I always have it fixed at January 6th, but as I read through a book on our congregation, it is January 9th of 1976. And we have found over the course of years, a tradition long before I showed up 9.5 years ago, that to try to celebrate the anniversary that soon after the holidays just doesn't work very well for us. So we intentionally celebrate our anniversary later in January. So as an observation of that, I just want us to kind of embody MCC across the years. So as you are physically able to do so, when I sort of name the decade, not about your age, you could have shown up as an infant, just like check that vanity at the curb. If you have been a member or attending for 40 years or more, meaning 1978 or before, please rise as you're able. I know at least one. Look at that. Okay. More than 40 years at MCC Portland. Now, you can stay up, risen, if you're able. If not, feel free to take a seat. If you have been here for more than 30 years, 1988 or before, please rise so we can recognize your presence. There you go. More than 30 years associated with this congregation, more than 20 years, 1998 or before. Look at that, all right. 2008 or before, more than 10 years associated with this congregation. There you go. I kind of get in under the wire on that one myself. And if you have been here 5 years or more since 2013, please rise as you're able. There you go, 2013. If you have been attending, now I think you could rise too because you've been here at least that long. Yes, you have been with us that long. If you have been here at least 1 year, please rise. Has it been less than 5 years, Cherie? It seems like you've always been here, Cherie. Okay. And now, kind of the reverse way, if you have been here less than 1 year, just please rise and join us. This might be your first day, or you might have been here the last 6 to 8 to 12 months. So this is MCC Portland, 42 years worth and just a fraction of those lives who have been MCC Portland, have created MCC Portland, have been touched by MCC Portland. So look around at one another. Gaze at one another with love. Amen. Please be seated. A reminder that children of all ages are welcome and indeed encouraged to worship with us, but if your children or your family need a separate space, you can retire to the family room with your adult supervision and return to worship with us later. I'd ask you to pray with me, please. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. I kind of love that our church's anniversary falls during the season of Epiphany. I don't know, perhaps those of you who have been here more than 40 years can tell me, I don't know if that was intentionally the case in 1976, but I love that our congregation marks its official founding during the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, if you'll remember, is that church season where we hear stories about how the light of Christ is revealed and made manifest and recognized in the world. It begins by hearing the story of the Magi who follow the star in the sky until it rests over the house in Bethlehem. We heard last week the story of the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptizer in the Jordan, where the heavens opened and the voice of God says, "You are my beloved." my chosen. In you I am well pleased. We also hear over the course of weeks, depending upon how many weeks there are in any given year of Epiphany, the stories of the miracles and the healings that marked Jesus' ministry so well that people came to recognize that this was God in flesh. So because every year our anniversary, funny how anniversaries happen every year, we get this annual opportunity during Epiphany to ask ourselves, how is the light of Christ revealed through MCC Portland? That can be our Epiphany question. How is the light of Christ revealed and made manifest to the world through us? So I want you to take just a moment. Think of when you first, or a time when you witnessed the love of Christ manifest in and through MCC Portland. Do you have something in mind? I'd ask you to just take a moment, turn to a neighbor, someone near you, next to you, or behind or in front of you. Just take a moment, each of you share with one another briefly, the story of when you recognize the light of Christ manifest in MCC Portland. So if your partner has not yet shared, it's a good time to make that switch. So some of us are chattier than others, which is always the case, and the sharing does not have to end, but it will stop for the moment, and you can pick it up later. Okay. So those are Epiphany stories. That is a story of how the light of Christ is manifest in the world in and through this community. You know, these stories that we hear in the season of Epiphany at the beginning of Jesus' public life and ministry also include the stories of the calling of the first disciples, those who first followed Jesus Christ. And it seems appropriate that on our congregation's anniversary that we have a story, an Epiphany story about the call of the first disciples. The passage that we heard read from the Gospel of John is one of those scenes where Jesus is gathering that circle of followers that he will instruct and that he will lead and who will carry on the ministry afterwards. And when we read it and hear it, the words that we hear on the lips of Nathanael remind us of something that we often want to forget, but we need to remember. Those words, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" There was a titter that happened in the congregation, if you recall. We recognize those words and those feelings. Not only did Jesus associate with and call to discipleship many who were considered undesirable, poor, tax collectors, women and men of ill repute, Jesus himself was considered an undesirable person because of his origins of questionable parentage, and from Nazareth as well. before he was called Jesus the Christ. He was called Jesus from Nazareth, and that was not a compliment. Nathanael's comment is what we would call nowadays snarky and judgmental. That's why we recognize it. And it opens a window into the historical reality in the world of Jesus, and it opens us up to a world that we know very well also. And it reveals an uncomfortable but an important core truth of the gospel itself, from the very first disciples and including Jesus himself and down through the millennia to us. God calls the most unlikely people from the most unexpected places to do very unexpected things. Can I get a witness? One of the first things that Jesus does in his public ministry is that he calls and invites others to join him. Now, the order and the timing and the circumstances of how Jesus invites those disciples varies a little from gospel to gospel, but consistently we hear the first ones that are called are two pairs of brothers, Simon, who we later hear renamed as Peter, so Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and the brothers James and John. And here in the Gospel of John, these same four disciples are in place. And this one is a little bit unique. We may recall the stories where Jesus calls them to follow while he's walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Here it is, Philip, said to be from the hometown as Andrew and Peter, is the next one that is called to discipleship. And then Philip hurries off to tell Nathanael, to invite Nathanael. Now, we don't know of their relationship. Perhaps it is a friend, maybe it's a relative. But Philip excitedly says he has met the long-awaited promised one of Israel, and it is this Jesus from Nazareth. And without missing a beat, Nathanael thinks he already knows everything that he needs to know about this Jesus, and it is nothing flattering or anything he wants to associate with. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? There is no masking the disdain that he holds. Let's pause for a moment and recognize there is a Nathanael within each of us, and there is a Nazareth in each of our communities and our histories. It is in each of us, not just 20 centuries ago. That place, those people, those parts that are just a little too unacceptable. It's not the Keep Portland weirdness that is trendy and celebrated in our community, but those parts that we actually would rather avoid, that are not quite right, that are a little bit embarrassing, like a note on the organ at the... Those parts that we resist embracing, that someone or that something or that somewhere is definitely not us. You cannot pay attention to the stories of Jesus or understand the story of the Bible or understand the character of the God of the Bible and not recognize that to choose the last and the least, to work wonders through the underdogs and the marginalized, overturning every social expectation and polite convention. The chosen one is born in a barn, comes from Nazareth of all places. Why then should it surprise us when it happens to us
and in our own communities? Why does it make us uncomfortable when it happens to us or in our communities? There's a story that I've told once, I think, only in a sermon, but in several other settings, particularly recently. And it was one of the most pivotal conversations I think I've had, actually, as I reflect on several years as the pastor here at MCC Portland. A young woman who had attended our church for a few years, I had a one-on-one meeting with her. And she described a situation where she was in a social setting, talking with a friend, and her friend asked her where she went to church. And she paused and realized that she was very uncomfortable saying where she went to church, not because of her sexual orientation. In her case, she was already an out lesbian. But she was uncomfortable sharing that she attended MCC Portland. In that conversation, because we have a reputation of being the AA church. If you aren't aware, we have multiple 12-step meetings that happen here at MCC Portland every day of the week. Probably 1,000 people a month come through these doors on their journey of recovery in 12-step programs. So we have the reputation of being an AA church. And also the reputation of being a, quote, short bus church. Now, if you are unfamiliar with that term is not a complimentary term when used in most settings. It typically indicates those who may have special needs or those who might be not quite normal. It is not meant as a compliment. It is not meant as a compliment, but as a derogatory term. And in that conversation, she became aware that she was uncomfortable being associated with a church with whom that moniker was associated. And I wrestled with that for a long time. I would say for years even, because who really wants that association? And then I realized it no longer bothers me. It no longer bothers me, and in fact, I think it's worth celebrating. Because here's the good news of the gospel. Here is the good news of the gospel. The short bus is actually the bus from Nazareth. And it stopped at my stop, and it stops at your stop. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Maybe nothing, except Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God. Can anything good come out of MCC Portland? Maybe nothing, except the revelation of the light of God in Christ. So, as I was preparing for today, I recalled what I learned was a story about the favorite message of MCC Portland's founding pastor, Reverend Austin Ameren, now of blessed memory. He died, well over 25 years ago, I think. He was the founding pastor, and he actually returned a couple of times to be a gap pastor between other pastorates. And apparently, one of his best-known and most beloved sermons was a borrowing and a reframing of an old and familiar fairy tale, the story about a frog who actually was a handsome prince who had been placed under a witch's curse. We know the old fairy tales that work like that. And when the frog is kissed, there the dignity is revealed, turns into the prince, in the story at least.
And the sermon and the story was that within us all, there is this frog and this prince, or princess, depending. Often hidden, often held captive by the story or the curse or the messages that we have had or heard. And the point being that the church is in the business of kissing frogs. That is a sermon by the founding pastor, MCC Austin Ameren. I hope you appreciate that 42 years later, it still is said from the pulpit. We have forgotten our business, we have forgotten God's business, the more that we try to fit in to a standard of desirability and success in the world, the more we try to, quote, be normal. We might step closer and closer to acceptance and popularity, but we step a little bit farther away from what I believe God called us to be and continues to call us to be. Both of the scriptures that we heard this morning speak to us on our anniversary, I believe. The first one, we heard the words of the ancient prophet who proclaims that God is about to do something new. God is about to do something new. And the story, the call of the disciples, follow me, come and see. And both of them call us to leave a comfortable and familiar place to follow.